Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Narson for the preview of the World Championships individual time trial. Men and women, if you're listening on podcast players, there'll be separate YouTube videos. I've had some camera issues. Don't even talk to me about it if you're watching on YouTube. I've also, we're a bit delayed on this, I'll acknowledge, because I had to go to Barcelona to pick up our dog. He just flew over from Australia and a bit of a bureaucratic nightmare. So, but we're getting to it on our Friday night. Thanks to Benji for giving up his time. But this is near him, this course. Finishes in Bruges. It's a 43-kilometer flat TT from the men from Nokerheist to Bruges. It is pancake flat, 22 meters of elevation gain in those 43Ks. In terms of turns, there's like 8 on the course. It's crazy, just long straightaways. But what about the wind, Benji? And I want you to explain, as a local of this region, is the wind constant, or can it be actually unfair in that it could change throughout the actual 3 hours they set off?
Well, to be fairly honest, I haven't like looked in-depthly on whether the weather will change during the parkour and during the ride, but I do know that the wind on on Sunday won't be too extreme. I think 11K an hour was what I read most recently, like an hour ago, as the proclaimed wind speeds at that point. But yeah, I actually went to school in Bruges. So yeah, good extra hint of information that has no influence at all on this race at all. But pretty straightforward parkour. Most of it is done next to like a bit of a waterway, a bit of a channel. And yeah, you can get up to big speeds there because you don't get into corners too much. I think for the men's scores, it goes to basically from Knokke-Heist through Dutzele to Damme and then to Bruges. And in Dutzele, they'll pass twice because they go through it and then back and then go to the finish line. So if you're willing to take a look at the parkour, that seems to be the place where you can watch the riders pass twice, which is going to be probably a better thing than seeing them pass once.
And the finish in Bruges, from what I can see, is on main roads, which should be pretty straightforward as well. And if you don't like Bruges, you know, it's a fairy tale fucking city. And you won't get that one, I don't think. But before we dive into the World Champs preview in detail, mention our show partner, Lacole, who produced performance cycling apparel and also sponsor the, or a name partner of the Drops, Lacole British team. Their rider, Joss Loudon, will actually be riding the TT for Great Britain at the World Championships. She's definitely one to watch out for a top 10, maybe even a top 6 result. So thanks, Lacole, for supporting our podcast, and as well, watch Joss Loudon, keep an eye out for her in the World Championships Women's ITT. Yeah, I love Bruges. I went on a 5-day art exhibition looking at art in the Flemish region back in 2015, which always is a bit peculiar to Benji. But the start list is pretty stacked, actually. We've got Wout van Aert, Ganna, Evenepoel, Stefan Kung, Cavagnar, Bissiger. Who am I missing? Ethan Hayter, Remco Evenepoel, who came third at the European Championships ITT. No Rowan Dennis, I don't believe. So the European Champs is a pretty good indication of, well, it's the biggest lead-up race where we've had all these big names. That was 22.5Ks, about half the distance. Kung won that by 8 seconds on Ganna, 15 on Evenepoel, but there was no Wout van Aert there. Do you think this is all between those four favorites, Benji? Ganna, Kung, Evenepoel, Wout van Aert. They're all 260, 325, 375, 450 in the betting, and then no one else is given a chance. Do you see any chance for long shots like Afeni or Sobrero to be getting a top 3 or 4 here?
Well, in all honesty, I think that Sobrero will have a hard time doing that because I think that he's not confirmed to go from the start list I have ahead of me. When it comes to Ganna, of course, being the lead for Italy, he's most likely the favorite on paper for many people. But I feel like we had this award show at the end of last year where we spoke about who is the best time trialist and so forth. It was mainly Genna if we looked at this type of parkour. And I feel like this year, if we would have that award show right now based on the season so far when it comes to time trialists, I cannot tell you yet who is the best time trialist in the world this year. Probably. Because it's been so this person this time around, that it's difficult to proclaim that one rider is better in total than the others. And yeah, it does seem like those riders that you mentioned are going to be the favorite ones. I see Ganna doing very well. I see an Evenepoel doing relatively well. Vanard, just like last year, could be a very good rider on this parkour. But then you've got people that are likely going to be doing pretty well as well in my expectations. Like, I say this all the time when I see a time trial recently, that Asgreen could top 10 this race. Cavagna will most likely do well. We always forget Cavagna in time trials. We won't forget him this time to mention him, but I just don't see them beating the big guns per se. And Kung was really impressive in the European Championships. And if you can pull that story true to this parkour, 43 kilometers, which is longer, which in my eyes, Kung was always the kind of rider that did well at 20, 25 kilometers. And in prologues as well. But when it comes to the very long time trials, I'm a bit scared for that. And I think that again, I might be better off on a very long time trial. Or an Evenepoel, perhaps, I don't know. I'm not sure about Remco personally on an extremely long 43-kilometer time trial. I do remember the one in 2019, where he got second, was also a pretty long one when Dennis dominated. But in general, there's a few riders that I would indeed not look after too much for this, which is a Pogacar for Slovenia. Are you surprised that Poggi's going to this one and not Roglic?
Yeah, but there's some weird stuff going on with the Slovenian national team staff. Remember, there's the coach who's the...
Halpman,
Halpman, who's the UAEDS, and he is not doing that anymore for Slovenia, and no one knows why. And I've obviously got a conspiracy theory about it, that it's related to Roglic having back problems in their road race in Tokyo and then not being able to help Pogacar and then being able to put a minute 5 seconds into the best time trials a couple of days later. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it didn't. Maybe I'm just stirring the pot. But I don't really see a chance for like the likes of Bissiger, Benji. On a longer TT, me and you love him in 10 to 15 kilometers. But I don't like him for this. And you mentioned long TT. We don't have much data on people doing long TTs. We don't see a 43K TT in road races or stage races very often. You know where we do see long TTs and flat ones? In Belgium pretty often. Belgian National Championships. 2019 National Championships won by...
I didn't actually know that.
2019 from Middelkerke to Middelkerke. I presume it's pretty flat.
Yep, it is.
Wout van Aert smoked Lampaert and Evenepoel 32 and 39 seconds into them in 2019. In 2020, it was a 42-kilometer time trial from Coxeter to Coxeter. He put 30 seconds into still trying at TT Campenaerts, now classic specialist Campenaerts. And, yeah, there was no Evenepoel or Lampaert there. So Wout van Aert, he's done in his career five TTs over 32 kilometers. And one in 2017 doesn't count because he was still like doing that CX stuff, whatever that is. And then the TT in the Olympics. What about that, Benji? That's the other one this year, apart from the European Championships, the Olympics TT. How much stock do you put in that, given it's in Tokyo, it's humid, it's straight after the tour, it had like 700 meters of climbing, but it is a long TT?
Personally, significantly less than the European Championships because you said, like, yeah, the humidity and so forth, but it's also a very different parkour. It's the hills that mattered a lot on that parkour. That's why Roglic was able to take time on the climbs a lot. He obviously lost a bit towards the heavier people like Asgreen on the descents himself, not extreme at all, but we saw that in the way that Asgreen was passing him in the descents, for example. Here you don't have that. Here it's basically pancake flat. Like, you're going to find a bit of rubble along the side, and that's going to be the biggest altitude meter of the entire parkour. That's what West Flanders is like in this region, at least. And I feel like we will see that noticeably, that this is going to be a winner that is just specified for this type of flat parkours. And that's why I'm not looking at Tokyo as much as I do for the European champs, because the European champs was was very low when it comes to altitude meters as well. I think it was 60 in total among that parkour of 17-ish kilometers. So certainly fits more to this grading. Than what I'm curious about is whether Gung can keep that up and whether he can prove on this parkour on a longer time trial that he can do it as well. And is there a reason that we don't have Dennis here? Because like Dumoulin, we know that he was injured, unfortunately, and his entire season has gone after that. Was it a car accident? Like he got hit by a car or something?
At a T intersection, he broke his wrist. So Dumo's out, which is a shame. I think he would have been a decent top seven for a top five lock, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe behind Lawson Craddock, of course. But yeah, no, I can't see any Australia in the start list. So maybe that's just a PCS thing. Maybe I'm missing something. But I really remember seeing Dennis saying you're not doing World Championships, and he's going to Jumbo-Visma next year. That's been announced. But anyway, back to the main four guys. So Wout van Aert shape this year, 46 race days, which isn't that much, to be honest, compared to some of the other guys. But he's just on the Tour of Britain, which he had a bit of a layoff after Tokyo. So after Tokyo, he took 6 weeks off, then Tour of Britain, and he won that, looking in good shape. At the Tour de France, he won the 31-kilometer final time trial, pretty convincingly. He got beaten in the Stage 5 TT, but apparently he was a bit undercooked. Other TTs this year, he won the San Benedetto del Tronto 10K Classic TT at Tirreno ahead of Ganna, I believe. But that's, as I said, only 10K. So I think Wout van Aert should podium lock, really. But I don't think he should be favourite. I still think, I don't know, Ganna, I think, is being slept on, Benji. I think Ganna, I was looking through his results and TTs over 30Ks, and I was looking at how hilly the ones he's had to do, and finally he's got a 43K one. He got the home-cooked Imola TT last year, which he won. But, yeah, where do you see Ganna's shape? 63 race days so far this year. Not been as dominant either. Are you concerned that he's not at that top level? Because I actually think his TT Olympics was good for how much climbing there was there.
Yeah, certainly. We looked at the Olympics and we thought, okay, this is a good performance based on the climbing we had. And we even said afterwards, yeah, this is a bit above what we expected for Ganna. We were thinking he might not even top five, that he would be sixth or seventh or eighth in that parkour. And he was able to get that top five, and that was a significant performance. And let's be real, he was second at the European Championships. That's not a shit result. And we've seen recently, or at least I've seen that based on the Giro, for example, that in the races before the Giro, in that, was it an ITT in Rome or something beforehand, where he actually didn't perform.
Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of something else. It was Romandy.
Yes. Okay. When it comes to Romandy, his performance wasn't that great in the time trials. And the question then is, does he just perhaps save some energy, or not saving energy, but perhaps he doesn't dive into corners at 120% like he would do at the World Championships, because he wants to make sure he's not injured when he arrives at the World Championships? Or is that a conspiracy theory because the European Championships, he dove into the corners like crazy in the last kilometer?
What's the point in winning the European Championships jersey when you're going to wear the rainbow bands in the next year? It's greedy. So that's probably what Filippo Ganna is thinking.
Ask Colbrelli, what's the point of winning the Italian Championships when you want to wear the bloody European ones instead? Well,
the European ones, when he's going to win the World Championships. Colbrelli, where he's going. I think European Championships, I'm reluctant to put too much stock into it. Yes, I think Kung is, you know, looking really, really good in the TT, but I'm wary that this is not a major goal for guys. It's like Burgos before Vuelta España. It's like Tour of the Alps before the Giro. Simon Yates went into favorite for the Giro. Carthy went into third favorite for the Vuelta because of those. They're not the main focus of these guys, just like Benji said with Romdi for Ganna. So it's all about world champs. But I don't know. I don't know about Ganna's shape. He hasn't looked as dominant as last year, particularly in that Tirreno Adriatico one where he might have been sick. But Stefan Kung, yeah, you said, Benji, you think he's better on the 20 to 25K one. I'm tended to agree, but we haven't really seen – he hasn't had good results, frankly, in over 40-kilometre TTs in the past. But that might have been the fact that his equipment's not been good. Maybe FDJ have improved it. What about Evenepoel, though? He's the dark horse for me. Evenepoel, European champs, 22Ks flat. What did he lose by? 15 seconds or something to Stefan Kung, 7 seconds behind Ganna. He DNS Benelux halfway through with sickness the week before and then comes back and he's doing crazy numbers. He's putting his power data up on Strava now, I think, probably because he's pretty proud of it, rightly so. He's doing insane numbers. So I don't expect a huge drop-off in his power either from 50 minutes, from 25 minutes out to 50 minutes. That's what I think his advantage is here on these guys. He's got the 25-watt buff because he's in Belgium. Ganna's no longer in Italy. How realistic do you think Evenepoel is right to be ahead of Wout van Aert in the betting, Benji? He's third favorite right now.
I think there's some time trial recency bias in that aspect because Wout van Aert was not at the European Championships. That's taken into account that the Tour of Britain, there was a team time trial, but no individual time trial to boost up his numbers in the betting. And as a consequence, Remco has better odds because he has a best recent performance. And it's been a while since the Tour de France ITTs. And because of that, I think there's recency bias in that. Nonetheless, I think that I dare to put them relatively close to each other. The only difference that I have is that I think the time trial might be a bigger goal for Remco than it is for Wout van Aert, because I think van Aert is way more focused on the road race here and perhaps less on the time trial. But nonetheless, he's certainly going to try and go for gold because he's selected, and Belgians always ride when they're selected. Come on.
Always. Except for maybe Remco at the Olympics or maybe even the road race if he wins the TT. But some head-to-heads that I've looked at that are interesting. An interesting one, Benji, is Rafael Reiss, $1.72 against Ethan Hayter, who's $2. Now, I might have just been bet down a bit on Ethan Hayter. But so Ethan Hayter's, I think, what he comes second at Tour of Britain, big talent, British talent on Ineos. Rafael Reiss, a lot of people think, who's Rafael Reiss? He is a Uruguayan who won the Volta a Portugal this year. And no, he didn't. Did he win it? Oh, no, he was going to win it. He crashed. I did a thing on it.
Are you sure he's Uruguayan?
Rafael Reiss? No, I'm not sure.
I think you're talking about the Mauricio guy.
Oh, geez. I'm talking about Moreira. I've conflated the two.
F in the chat for the discussion.
So Reiss is Portuguese. I got confused. It's his teammate on a FAPL who's Uruguayan. Anyway, at Volta Portugal, he won the prologue. He won the final TT, which is 20Ks long. But I think Moreira was going to beat him in the TT, which is why I got confused.
Yeah, but to be honest, in that time trial, there was literally a guy that jumped in front of Reiss waving his hands trying to crash him. So I don't know, man.
No, that was in front of Amaro Antunes. So Moreira crashed. Yeah, okay. Moreira crashed, and then a guy jumped in front of Antunes, the W52 bomber guy, and tried to crash him out. So
just fault our Portugal things.
It's chaotic. Anyway, Reiss ahead of Hayter, the interesting one to watch. He's on a Conti team against Ethan Hayter. Asgreen, $1.44 against Cavagna. I think Cavagna is a little bit underrated there, frankly, as well as Tadej Pogacar, $1.28 against Mikhail Kwiatkowski. I think Poggy should be cleaning
him. What do you think about Carlos Rodriguez, knowing this is probably not his goal of the season, and he's selected for both the ITT and the road race, I think, at the age of 20. That's insane. But he's got the talent, but it's still insane, right?
Yeah, I guess. I'm just struggling to get excited about anyone. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, I don't care about anyone else apart from the top five guys. And then someone will come top five and I'll look like an idiot. It happens every TT and these world champs.
Lawson Craddock, mate. It's coming.
Yep. Lawson Craddock. Love it. Okay. Going back to the favorites, Benji, putting you on the spot. What's your top three for this world championships TT?
My top three is, Jesus Christ, it's heresy if I don't say a Belgian for first. I'm going to go for Ganna winning. Second, Remco Evenepoel, and third, Wout van Aert.
Evenepoel over Wout van Aert?
Yeah.
More on an effort thing.
I think that longer time trials are very good for Remco because he can sustain a very high wattage for a very long time. And as a consequence, the longer time trials are the ones I would put him above Wout van Aert, despite yeah, they're both better on a slightly hilly parkour, I think, personally. But I don't know. I just feel like Remco will beat Van Aert here. Could be wrong. I don't really. In the end, doesn't matter what I think.
Yeah, I want to go with Ganna. I think Ganna is the best on this course. Shape at the European Championships. I think he's tricking me. He's probably tricking me. I'm going to go with Ganna, Wout van Aert, Remco Evenepoel, 1-2-3. And Affini is someone who I think he's better at the short ones, isn't he, Benji?
Well, to be honest, I would dare to say that his prologues are better as short-sized ones, but I also vaguely remember that his European Championships in 2019, didn't he get like a good result then? Let me take a quick look while I'm brabbling on. And I see a result that is third, which was a 22-kilometer time trial? Yes, indeed. So it's not really that long. So I don't know. I can't tell you what he does on very long time trials because he hasn't done it properly before. So I would dare to say no, that it is not his favorite.
I'd love to see what Jos van Emden can do. I mean, he won Crono de Nations ahead of Ganna in a very long TT only 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago. But I think that time is long gone.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned this result.
I've mentioned
like
that
20
result
times before.
Times, yeah. And when Roglic beat people at Crono de Nations, I was like, oh, look at that. In 2017.
99% of the people don't know what that race is.
Doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. Bevan isn't on the start list for New Zealand, which is somewhat surprising. Maybe that's just a PCS thing. Got Scully there for New Zealand. I'm really looking forward to it, Benji, because honestly, these guys are all very close. Wout van Aert, Kung, Ganna, and Evenepoel, if he carries the form he's had, they are very close. And if you have a flat, like Ganna did in the Giro last TT, if you just have a little off day, if you didn't sleep well the night before, even if one of them gets bad or preferable wind conditions, or if you draft a guy ahead of you a little bit more, that can be the difference, because these guys, I think, are quite close, with Ganna not looking as dominant as he was previously. But yeah, that's our preview of the Men's World Championships TT. It's pretty straightforward, and it's just going to be a Watts test. Big Watts Fest from Nokerheist to Brugge on Sunday. And the women's is on the Monday, which we'll get into now, which has a 30-kilometer course, which is quite long, actually, quite long TT for the women compared to their normal in stage races, how long their TTs are. There's two time intermediate time checks, like 7Ks apart in the middle. And it's a very similar sort of course. They finish in Bruges, start Nokerheist. There's like five turns max, maybe four turns. And the start list is pretty strong as well. We've got a lot of the riders that have been doing well in TTs recently, particularly Madeleine Reusser, the Swiss rider, who she's been absolutely flying in the last 6 weeks. Got Lisa Brennauer, Lisa Klein, two big riders for Germany. Emma Norsgaard should do well from Denmark. Got Ellen van Dijk and Van Vleuten for the Netherlands. And Amber Nieben, who I think is like 47 years old. I hope I'm not. 46 years old, I apologize, for the USA. I think she came top six at the Olympics. She's really, really good. So she should top 10 here as well. But are you going with the recent form here, Benji, with Reusser? Because it's not just been the European Championships where she's done well.
Well, based on her performances of the last few months, let's take a look at it very swiftly. She won the European Championships ahead of Ellen van Dijk and Lisa Brennauer. Then after that, before that, we had Stella Tizzi Challenge. We had a mountain time trial there. Van Vleuten beat her there. 20 seconds only on Reusser on a mountain parkour. So I dare to say that it was the mountain parkour that did it for Van Vleuten, and not necessarily the time trial aspect to it. Then the Simac Ladies Tour, she was fast again on a completely flat time trial of 17 kilometers ahead of Ellen van Dijk and Chantal van den Broek-Black, the likes of Alisa Klein, top five there as well. Then we look at Olympics, Van Vleuten winning on a hilly parkour once again, but a minute ahead of Marlon Reusser. I would dare to say that Olympics was the best form of Van Vleuten compared to the period after it. So I would think that Marlon Reusser is the perfect candidate to win on the parkour that we have, which is completely flat. There's only one difference, really, in this parkour, is that we don't go twice through Dutzele compared to the men's parkour. And in terms of cornering, that reduces one one corner near Bruges, but it's not going to be too much of a difference in terms of cornering throughout the parkour, really. So I would dare to say, with the limited amount of corners we have, Marlon Royster is my favorite, and I'm indeed looking at Van Vleuten to do quite well here as well. But I would not be counting out the likes of Van Dijk, certainly, for a podium. And then perhaps the Germans as well, next to your Ambernieben. I think like Brenner or Klein are usually pretty decent as well on flat time trials. But you have like a name out there that is also fitting on this parkour?
Kiesenhofer, maybe. The Austrian Olympic champion in the road race. Maybe could push it top five, but I don't know. It's like Royster was so far ahead in European championships from everyone except Ellen van Dijk. She was a minute over a 22-kilometer course. She's a minute ahead of the two Germans, Brenner and Klein, and then it's 2 minutes back to Kiesenhofer. So these are huge gaps. Van Vleuten did not do that race, from what I can see. Yep. Van der Breggen's not doing this race, nor did she do that race. I think AVDB's kind of checked out a little bit from what I've seen and have been sort of riding in a domestique role recently. I don't know Royster well enough, Benji, to know whether the extra 8Ks helps her or hinders her as against Ellen van Dijk. I think that helps Van Vleuten more than Royster.
Whew, good question. Difficult one to answer, but I also don't think that those 7 kilometers will be the end of the world for Royster in that aspect. So I'd still stay in the camp of Royster. I would look more into like 40 kilometers to see if that changes. But then we're talking about a relatively very long time trial compared to the rest of the season of women's ITTs. And I don't know. I think the difference between Van Dijk and Van Vleuten is what makes me curious, because Van Dijk is obviously a very good time trialist on the flat. Van Vleuten, we've seen mainly time trial on the hills and on the mountains recently. So to judge where Van Vleuten will land in that top 5 to top 3 for me, I honestly don't know whether I would put her ahead of Van Dijk or behind Van Dijk myself. Because like, it's pretty clear that my personal favorite for this one is Marlon Royster, but it's just based on the results she's had so far. But what do you think, Van Vleuten, compared to like the flat 2 tiers?
It's hard to say because, yeah, Olympics, 56 seconds into Royster, but that course, as we said many times for the men's race, was very, very hilly, 22K course. We saw there was an uphill TT in the Cerritizit La Vuelta Challenge. Van Vleuten beat Royster, but by less than we expected, actually, and Van Vleuten was riding, both of them were riding with a lot to gain because Royster had taken a big advantage in the stage before from a breakaway on Van Vleuten in GC. So, yeah, that 56 seconds, that's a lot. I don't know, Benji. I feel like it's going to be very, very close between Royster and Van Vleuten. I think my podium is Marlon Royster, Annemiek van Vleuten, and Van Dijk, but pretty closely between each other. What about you?
When it comes to my podium, I've got in first spot Royster. Second spot, I'm going to go Alan van Dijk. And third spot, I have to say Van Vleuten, don't I? I think Van Vleuten.
You have to.
and then the next two riders, I don't know, Brenner, lock for top five, I would expect personally.
Yeah, Brenner and Klein should go top five as well. Is Subolanskaya doing it? The Ukrainian, she's always.
No clue.
She's not. Or she Uzbek. I'm not having a good day with the names at the moment.
Let's not.
No, she's Uzbek. Jesus, okay. I've stuffed it again. Confused Portugal.
Let's not
with Uruguay and Uzbekistan.
Discuss those politics.
she's really, really good. She came, she always does well at world championships. She's 41. She got, I think, 26 wins. And like, where'd she come last year? She DNS. But she's one to look out for a top 10 as well. I know I'm hyping her up, but just dark horse, Olga Zabolinskaya. For the World Championships TT top five. You can never count her out. But yeah, I think it'd be pretty straightforward, and I'm looking forward again to see what if the Swiss lock out, Benji, both Kung and Marlon Royster. They'll be on fire.
Yeah, certainly. And they did so at the European Championships where they both won. And
true.
perhaps if one fails, the other fails automatically. It's just part of the game, and it's the Swiss chain. And if it doesn't work out, then oof, so unfortunate. But honestly, I'm looking forward to see what happens here. I tend to enjoy these women's ITTs as well, and I am very much looking forward to the road race afterwards as well for both women's and men's races. So yeah, we are crossing the golden country of West Flanders for this time trial. So enjoy it while it's on the screen. I will also enjoy it from my couch because I can watch way more from my couch.
Oh, you're not going to watch?
Probably not.
Speaking of separatist politics there, Benji referring to West Flanders as a country in itself. Bit of a spicy, bit of some spicy action there. And I'd also been in Catalunya over the
weekend. Country of farmers I represent.
Jesus. I mean, imagine if Evenepoel wins the TT and Wout van Aert wins the road race. Belgium, surely you get a national holiday. Is cycling that big there? Like, how crazy would it be?
Cycling is pretty big, yes. It would be pretty crazy, but there's no way in hell they're putting a national holiday for that. Like, football is still the most popular sport in Belgium, unfortunately. Unfortunately, the wisdom of many is not at the level that we hope for. We would hope that cycling is indeed the religion of Flanders, but unfortunately, it's not always like that.
It's such a weird season. We've still got Paris-Roubaix to come as well in it's a crazy. Few weeks, October 2nd, and then we've got the Tour de France route reveal 2 weeks after that in Paris, which Benji and I, that's one of my favorite times of the season, reacting to that. But World Championships coming up this week, men's TT Sunday, women's on the Monday. A little bit strange, the scheduling. I would have thought the women's would be on Saturday, but that's how it's organized, it seems. We'll obviously have the road race previews coming out in the next few days. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lantern Rouge CP to keep abreast of the news on when exactly those come out, as well as sometimes it takes longer to edit the YouTube videos for the pods, so the podcast version always goes up earlier as one full file, particularly for the Grand Tour previews and World Champs sort of previews. We hope you enjoyed this preview. Let us know who your podium picks are, and we'll see you soon. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.